And I just want to give a little bit of scriptural foundation. Earlier, we had some things happen up here, and I think most people in the room are familiar with that. Perhaps not everybody is, and so I just want to give a little biblical foundation for it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, it says, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. And that's exactly what we saw this morning. We had one came forward and gave a message in tongues. That's just another language that's prompted by the Holy Spirit. And then another one gave the interpretation. And then another one just gave kind of an encouraging word. And all of that is biblical stuff. And I want to commend you for doing that. And I want to commend all of us for being receptive to hearing the word of the Lord. We want God to move like that in our midst. And that's why I'm taking a moment here, not just for the biblical foundation, but also just to kind of say, yes, we want this. All right? And so I'm encouraged. I want you to be encouraged as well. All right. That's enough of that. If you have further questions, let me know. I'd be glad to talk with you further about it. At this time, it's Kids Church time. Age 3 through grade 4. And I have been blessed this week with the crud. So, yeah, stand back, right? I think maybe I'm coming out of it today, but you might hear a little something in my voice. That's because I have not been well this past week, but I'll be okay. This morning, I want to talk about the question, why the wait? Why the wait? An alternative title would be Standing on the Promises. But why the wait? How many remember the old Heinz ketchup commercial? Anticipation is making me wait. Yeah, there's waiting in so much of life. I remember when I was a little kid, I wanted a mini bike so bad. And Dad would say, yeah, maybe someday. And then I remember we visited some friends down in Ottumwa. And they had a son who was a little older than me, and he was ready to move up from a mini bike to a motorcycle, and so he was going to get rid of his mini bike, and I wanted that mini bike so bad. I didn't get it. But Mom and Dad promised me I could get a mini bike. But it was probably another year or so before I actually got it, and so I had to wait for my mini bike. I also remember, and some of you were here during the time of the transition when Naomi and I used to do what Jake and Christina are doing, and then there came a transition, and God was calling us to be lead pastors. And that was quite the transition, something that we really didn't want, and yet God was doing a sovereign work. And so it was quite the process to even get to the point of saying, yes, we'll take a church somewhere. That was quite the ordeal. And then even after we said yes, we had to wait. Once we said yes, we figured, okay, I've been boneheaded long enough. God finally got through to me. I said yes, so now things are just going to start clicking. But it didn't happen that way. Even after I said yes, there was a season of waiting for things to happen. And then God sovereignly opened the doors for us to stay right here and take the lead. But there was waiting. I also remember, I've had a variety of prophetic words over the years spoken to me personally, and some of those have been fulfilled, and some of those still haven't been fulfilled. Some I'm still just waiting for. And I think some of you can identify with that. Our church has received several prophetic words over the years, and we've seen some fulfillment, and yet there's some things that, if you've been here a long time, you know what I'm talking about. You've heard some of those prophetic words, and we're still waiting for some of the fulfillment of what God has said to us. And I want to read a little bit from Burles Parker was here in 2004, and he gave a little bit of prophecy. And I want to read a little bit of what he spoke to us then. He said, you have set a very solid, sure foundation. God is going to use that foundation. This is not the ultimate. This isn't it. This is the beginning of it. Don't get discouraged. Don't get frustrated wondering how come some of the things that God has promised you in secret hasn't happened yet. It's okay. He's taking you one step at a time. One of the most frustrating things as pastors and leaders is waiting on God. It's frustrating. It's hard when you get a promise and then you're waiting for the promise to happen. He has not forgotten his promise to you. And what he has shown you, he will accomplish. But you need to understand, what's going to be done here has to be solid. And he's using you to build that solid foundation. And then will come the next level and the next phase. Thought that was a very good word. Sometimes we just have to wait for what God has promised. And some in this room have received personal promises, perhaps a prophetic word or just some stirring in your heart that God has spoken to you, and you're still waiting for that to be fulfilled. And sometimes we wonder, why the wait? Why do we have to wait? Well, Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14 says this, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Now, the psalmist, he's talking himself happy here, okay? Because he's still waiting for something, and yet he says, but I'm still confident. I will see the goodness of the Lord. And then he kind of, here's the talking himself happy. I'll be strong. I'll take heart. I'm going to hang in there and wait. And the word wait here means to hope, to expect, to look eagerly for. It literally, if you get into the original languages, it literally means to bind together. And here's how I take that. I think in this case it means to hold on to those promises. Wait, bind together, hold on to those promises. Don't let go. Be confident, be strong, take heart. God will keep his word. So wait for him. But when things are taking longer than expected, we ask the question, why the wait? Why the wait? Well, I have a few thoughts on why the wait. Here's the first one. Sometimes the wait is because of disobedience and unbelief. Sometimes the promise doesn't come through just because we're not in the right place with God. Remember, God promised the Israelites the land of Canaan. But in Numbers 14, you find that the people disobeyed and they grumbled against God, and they didn't believe that he could actually bring them into the promised land. They were terrified of the enemies in the land, and they didn't fully trust God to take care of them, and so God decided that most of them would not receive the promise. And he waited for a new generation to grow up that would trust him wholeheartedly. Of the original generation, only Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land. And so some of them just didn't get in on the promise because of their disobedience and unbelief. Louis Cassell says, obedience leads to faith. Live faithfully by the little bit of light you now have, and you will be given more. And D.L. Moody says, obedience means marching right on whether we feel like it or not. Many times we go against our feelings. Faith is one thing, feeling is another. And if you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time, you know exactly what that means. There are times when you really feel it. You feel his leading. You feel his presence. And faith comes easy in those times. Because, you feel it. But then there's other times when you're not feeling it so much. But faith goes on anyway. You don't let yourself fall into unbelief and disobedience. F.B. Meyer says, unbelief puts our circumstance between us and God. But faith puts God between us and our circumstance. I like that. And then Martin Luther really asks a pointed question here. He says, what greater rebellion, impiety, or insult to God can there be than not to believe his promises? That's an insult to God when we don't believe him. Does God ever lie? Does God ever fail to fulfill his promises? And so if we allow ourselves to get into unbelief, we are insulting God. Okay? So that's one reason sometimes there's a wait, because we're not really right with God. But here's another reason. Sometimes it's just to teach us patience. Anticipation. It's making me wait. Patience. Psalm 37, 7 through 9. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Be patient. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, King Saul was waiting for Samuel to come and bless him before going into battle. But he got impatient, and he did the blessing himself, and it ended up costing him dearly. He ultimately lost his kingdom because he wouldn't wait. He wasn't patient. It's been said, never think that God's delays are God's denials. Patience is a virtue that God is looking for. And so will you hang in there and hold on when the wait gets long? That's the question. And sometimes God wants to see. Will we keep on believing? Will we keep on waiting? Will we be patient? There's a Chinese proverb that says, one moment of patience may prevent disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a life. It's true. I've often commented to people about finding God's will. And I believe if you sincerely desire God's will for your life, and you obey him while you wait, you cannot miss it if you'll be patient. But if you become impatient and try to make certain things happen, you just might miss God's plan. He wants us to wait and follow his plan, not to be impatient and invent our own plan. Okay? Why the wait? Sometimes we wait because waiting builds maturity. Do you really believe what God said? Waiting with faith develops perseverance, which leads to your maturity and completeness. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so here's the idea that sometimes we wait because God wants to teach us patience, but then that patience actually kind of leads us into maturity, which is what God wants for us all the time, right? He wants us to grow up in our faith. You know, it's the old oak trees that are the strongest. And stronger yet are those who have weathered some fierce storms. And so sometimes God wants us to rise up spiritually and become more mature before he will fulfill all of his promises to us. James Hewitt tells this. He says, when they first manufactured golf balls, they made the cover smooth. Then it was discovered that after the ball had been roughed up, one could get more distance out of it. And so they started manufacturing them with dimpled covers. And so it is with life. It takes some rough spots in your life to make you go the farthest. If some of you have experienced some rough spots in life and you've endured it, you know that you're better prepared for whatever else life may throw at you. Right? God wants us to grow in our faith. Strong faith in God and maturity does not come all at once. It's often gained through willing submission to his love and goodness in the midst of trial. And so God will let us weather some storms of life. And if we'll hang in there, hold on to his promises, keep trusting him, he matures us, and then we are more ready and able to handle when he delivers on his promise. Does that make sense? Okay, here's another one, kind of along the same line. Why the wait? Because you're not ready yet. God God promised you something, but you're just not ready for it yet. 1 Corinthians 3, 1, 2, and 3. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. There are times when, you know, we want the next greatest thing that God has for us, but he looks at it and says, you're just not quite ready for it yet. Kind of like my mini bike. I'm pretty sure one of the main reasons I didn't get a mini bike when I first was begging for one is because my parents said, you're not ready for it. Yeah, we give you a mini bike, you're going to kill yourself, son. Okay? Sometimes God looks at us and he says, you're not ready yet. When God promised the land of Canaan to Israel in Exodus 23, he said that he would not do it all at once. He knew it would be too much for them at first and that they would need to increase in order to take full possession of the land. Check your Bibles out. That's what it says. He's going to give it to them little at a time so that they can increase and fully take possession of the land. And God is looking for growth in us as well. Some of his promises require us to be spiritually mature enough to handle it. And so God's not going to give it to us before we're really ready. There's a Chinese proverb that says, be not afraid of growing slowly, be afraid only of standing still. Yeah. And so I say, learn whatever God is trying to teach you and grow. Don't get frustrated that you haven't received all the promises yet. Grow! Here's another reason why we wait sometimes to reap the greatest harvest. James 5, 7 through 8. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. The farmer waits. You know, you don't plant seed in April and then harvest in May. Right? No, it's you wait. I mean, if you did that, you'd end up with nothing. But you wait, and then there's a great harvest. That's the way it's designed to work. And God is always interested in the harvest. And so he is waiting for the best time to fulfill his promises so that it will achieve the greatest results. That's what God wants. If he gave you every promise he promised you right now, and you're not ready for it, you're not mature enough for it, it's not going to produce very much. But if you're ready for it, you're mature enough for it, then God can lay out his promises and it's going to blow the world away. Because God always has the harvest in mind. Doug Goins tells a story. He says, I had an experience of waiting that was very difficult a number of years ago. Ed Woodhall and I were supposed to fly to Bogota, Colombia to meet with the leadership of a prison ministry there. We had to make connections in Miami. It was a difficult trip that we didn't really want to make because we had to bring the bad news to our brothers and sisters in Colombia that we are not going to be involved in their ministry anymore for important reasons. Also, it was a time when the Colombian drug lords were running the country and American businessmen were being kidnapped off the street. So we felt some fear and apprehension. But we knew that it was the right thing to do. So we left San Francisco at 7 a.m. We're supposed to catch a 4 p.m. flight onto Bogota in Miami. But because of mechanical problems, we missed that flight. And it ended up having to wait for 24 hours in Miami. Late that night, after a full day of traveling, we were in a shuttle bus being driven to North Miami to sleep in some flea bag hotel that the airline had grudgingly provided for us. We were not in the best of moods, to confess honestly. Ed and I were talking about what was going on. Why is God doing this? What does it all mean? We were the last people to get off the bus. The Jamaican bus driver said to us, you men are Christians, aren't you? Yes, we replied. He continued, I asked God last week to bring me in contact with a Christian who could tell me how to accept Jesus. Ed and I both said, that's what's going on here. We had the amazing pleasure of praying with this dear brother as he came to faith in Christ. Then God gave us the next day to get our own hearts straight, to pray together and plan together. We were anxious to get to Columbia and get out, yet God said, wait, I've got some things I want to accomplish. God is always interested in the harvest. And then another reason why the wait. Because it's simply not God's perfect timing yet. In Habakkuk, how do you say it? Habakkuk or Habakkuk? Okay, about 50-50, that's what I figured. Now, take your pick. Anyway, here's what it says. The Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. The revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. So there is God saying, there's some things that are going to happen, and it's for sure going to happen, but wait for it because it has an appointed time. And some of God's promises to us as a church and promises to us as individuals, they have an appointed time. And we have to wait for God's perfect timing. Oswald Chambers says, don't jump to conclusions too quickly. Many things lie unsolved, and the biggest test of all is that God looks as if he were totally indifferent. You ever been there? You know God has spoken to you, and so now you're waiting, you're anxiously looking for his plan, and it just seems like God doesn't care. Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? Okay. I mean, okay, let me break it down. Let me make it real simple. Okay, we talk about having a relationship with Christ, right? Yes, we do. So it's not just religion. We have a relationship. Well, relationships sometimes rub you wrong, right? And even my relationship with God sometimes rubs me wrong. Can I be just totally honest about it? Sometimes I don't like the way God's doing things. Now, I know that makes me a terrible person, but I'm in good company. And sometimes we don't. We just, if we're totally honest, we don't really like the way God's handling this situation. But the truth is, God is never indifferent. He always cares, and he's always aware of your situation. And God has perfect timing, and when he makes a promise, he has a time in mind when he knows that will be exactly the right time. The Sweet Comfort Band sang a song called Perfect Timing. Here's some of the lyrics singing about God. You've got perfect timing. You're not a minute too soon, not a moment too late. You've got perfect timing. I can see when you move. I can feel when you wait. You hold tomorrow in the palm of your hand. Everything runs by your master plan. You've got perfect timing. God has perfect timing. And I firmly believe that one day when we're on the other side of glory and we're looking back at life and we see all the things that God saw, we will say, God, you did it exactly right. On this side, we may say, God, you're too late. Or God, what's the hang up? But when we're seeing it from his perspective, we'll look back and say, that was perfect. How did you do that, God? That was so fantastic. Because God has perfect timing. So this morning, I want you to examine your heart. Is there unbelief regarding his promises? Is there disobedience on your part while you're waiting? Can you hang in there and remain obedient no matter how long? Will you learn what God is teaching you while you wait? Will you continue to grow in spite of the wait? Can you trust God for the greatest harvest? Will you trust God's perfect timing? Church, will we continue to stand on God's promise to us? Will we obey His leading even if the promises of revival are a little ways off yet? Will we keep on praying for God's provision? Now imagine if we all trusted God completely, knowing His timing and plan is perfect. Imagine if we all resolved to keep on believing and growing no matter how long His promises took. God can use people like that. God can do miraculous things through people who simply believe what He says and trust Him. Can we wait on God's promises? Will we hang in there? Listen to this, Psalm 145, verse 13. The Lord is faithful to all His promises. God made sure that was in the Bible. And it doesn't say the Lord is faithful to some of His promises. The Lord is faithful to all His promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. God's promises never fail. If God has spoken to your heart a promise to you, and you're still waiting, it'll never fail. He's still going to fulfill His promise to you. God has spoken some promises to Open Bible Church of Boone, and some are still waiting. We're still waiting to see when that's going to be fulfilled. And I want to say today, God will not fail. His promises will come to pass. It will happen. So if there's a promise from the Lord that you've been waiting for, I want to encourage you today. God's promises never fail. Can I get a witness from somebody who had to wait for a promise and then you saw the fulfillment? There's a few that, yeah, I went through a waiting, but then it came through. And so if you're still waiting, it's going to come through. Now there's going to be some music playing and a little video going on. And I want us to demonstrate our faith while the video plays. And if you can say that you will continue to stand on God's promise, I want you to come forward as a symbol of your faith as the video plays. Will you stand on the promise? By the way, I love this kind of music right here. That's good stuff. Will you stand on God's promises? Will you hang in there? Has God spoken to you? Yeah. Nice. Everybody's coming.
Says of God, my Savior, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God.
That's a bit of a medley, but it's a good theme. We're going to hang in there with God. We're not giving up.
From all alarms, leaning,
it's not over yet, folks. Can you wait and hang in there while the song plays?
Promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God, standing.
Yeah, that's good. Stand. Will you stay strong? Will we trust God's promises to us? Yes and amen. And so that's our heart's cry, that God will fulfill his promise. And he says he will. So let's not give up. I know, I think we're here a lot as a congregation because we know God has spoken sovereignly to Boot Up Bible Church. But also I know some of you are here because you've individually heard a promise from God. He's spoken into your life, and you're still waiting for the fulfillment of that promise. I want to encourage you today, hang in there. God's promises never fail. And if you would, we're going to play another song here, and if you would just linger for a little bit and pray, perhaps pray with each other and encourage each other as we wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. I think God's wanting to strengthen our faith. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we had that word from Amos, and I just felt like God was prophesying to our church again that he's not done. He's got more to do. And so today it's again, stand firm in your faith. Don't give up. So go ahead and play the next one. And if you will, linger for a bit, pray, maybe grab somebody and pray with them.